Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Secret Roommate by Sarah Nye, narrated by Alexander Sendes and Avery Reed. Chapter 1. Duke. I hated New York. Hated everything about it, from the weather to the social scene to the hectic, fast-paced lifestyle. Then again, maybe I just hate it because it's not where I thought I belonged. It's not the place or team I thought I'd be drafted to. Texas. Texas is that place, and it's where I belong. And Texas is where I'm going to play now that I've just signed a new deal with the team I've wanted to play for since picking up my first football. The Longhorn State is in my blood. I wasn't drafted to the Dallas Steers as a rookie like I thought I'd be, prayed to be, actually. Instead, I was fucked over by my agent and signed to New York, a deal I remained furious about even coming off a Super Bowl win. Fuck you, New York Condors. And fuck you, Aaron Leitner, my former agent. Fuck him for screwing me over when I was too young to know better. Too young to know I had a choice when it came to who I wanted to play for. I had options, and he didn't tell me about them. The greedy bastard decided for me. Hefting my bag, I lowered the ball cap over my eyes and put on sunglasses despite the fact that I'm inside the airport. It's not easy concealing my identity. In fact, it's damn near impossible. But I'm quick, wearing a disguise, and don't dick around. It's not long before I'm climbing into a waiting black SUV at airport arrivals and on my way into the thick of the suburbs. I've never visited the Midwest, not to play tourist, not to sightsee, and I've certainly never lived here. Well, today all that changes. Today, I'm hiding out here. See, my agent lives in Chicago and has the keys to the house where I'll be holing up, hiding in what he calls a family-friendly neighborhood where I've been guaranteed no one will bother me. No one will notice me. I won't have to go out in public, won't have to be seen, won't have anyone breathing down my neck, paparazzi or otherwise. I only need a place to lay low for 2 weeks. The only one who knows I'm here is my new agent, Eli. Should be easy to stay out of trouble, yeah? Speaking of places to hide, when the driver pulls up to a red brick house covered almost completely in ivy vines, I almost gag in my mouth at how stereotypically wholesome the entire scene is. White picket fence out front, mailbox attached to the house on the front door, doormat on the brick stoop. It reminds me of the brick cottage from Hansel and Gretel, or better yet, the Three Little Pigs. The doormat says, "Shut the front door." Great. My roommate thinks dumb shit like that is cute and clever? Awesome. Rolling my bag over the cobblestone sidewalk, I frown when no one answers the door after I knock. My eyes do a quick scan for any forms of life and find none. I even peer into the front room through the window, shielding my eyes with the palm of my hand against the glare. Everything is as quaint as Eli described, complete with a pineapple-shaped door knocker in lieu of a doorbell. Who doesn't have a doorbell? What the hell kind of setup is this? Also, no one is here to let me the fuck inside. I feel like a dickhole standing out here. Knocking again, I shoot my gaze around the yard to the sidewalk and down the quaint street. I'm absolutely paranoid that someone may see me standing here and get nosy. I've been given clear instructions by my agent to keep a low profile. Is anyone home? I bang on the door with my fist. So what if I'm early by several hours? I help myself to an earlier flight to get a jump start on my mini non-vacation, thinking I'd be doing everyone a favor by leaping into obscurity sooner rather than later. Time to relax while the powers that be did their jobs behind the scenes. According to Eli, my departure from the New York Condors will be the top news story the sports world will have seen in a decade. I'm not sure if that's true, but I guess I have to learn to trust him. Hell, I might even read a book or two while I'm here. Start a woodworking project like my pops would have done. Hang a hammock and nap in the sun. Shit, the world is my oyster. The world was supposed to be my oyster 10 minutes ago, so it would be mighty helpful if someone would come to the gall-dang door. What was her name? The girl who lives here? Peony? Patricia? P. I open my phone to look at the address, her name a headline at the top of the screenshot. Posey Kettner. Posey, that's right. My temporary roommate is Posey. Like some goddamn flower or storybook creature, one of the single dumbest names I've ever heard, and I made no secret about it. Do not tell me Posey is her actual name. My agent, Eli, had shrugged his shoulders.
What difference does her name make? She's a great person who also values her privacy, and I've no doubt that she won't leak your location to the press or sell you out.
It doesn't make one lick of difference, but that cannot be her name. He laughed, just like he laughs at every other thing I say. I'll find out when I get there, I tell him.
Duke, don't do that. You'll make it weird.
How's it weird wanting to know her actual name?
That is her actual name. Stop being a dick because you want something to pick on.
I wasn't picking. I was just relentlessly curious. Posey isn't opening the door, and I'm growing impatient, which would come as a surprise to no one. I pull off my disguise. The wig is itchy as hell, especially with this hat pulled down on top of it. I yank off my sunglasses, too. The cab driver probably thought I was half off my rocker, wearing glasses in the middle of an afternoon with barely any sun. I knock for the third time, then use the ridiculously frivolous knocker, feeling like an ass because it's smaller than the palm of my hand. A pineapple-shaped knocker. Who would have thought? I wait. And wait. Since I'm an impatient man, I pull out my phone and shoot a text to Eli, but it doesn't deliver.
Shit, that's right.
He's on a flight and doesn't land for another hour. Shouldn't the dude have onboard Wi-Fi or some shit so I can get a hold of him in case there's an emergency? This being an emergency? He makes enough damn money that he can afford it. No one is supposed to know I'm here, so the last guys I'm going to call are Jack Jennings or Sloan Powell, two men I played against from time to time who live in the city nearby, neither of whom I want to share my whereabouts with.
The last time I was in the same room with Sloan Powell, he gossiped nonstop about who was sleeping with who and whose wife was caught cheating. Not cool.
Just as I'm fixing to throw a hissy fit, I get a brilliant idea. I just mosey around to the back and see if I can't find a magic door that'll let me in. I decide to give myself a tour of the exterior, confident there's a back door that might be unlocked or a key hidden under a doormat. Making my way to the backyard, I take the center of the narrow driveway. It's the old concrete kind with the grass down the middle and a basketball hoop above the detached shed/garage. The yard, I discover, is surrounded by a tall hedgerow, plenty of trees, and frankly, I'm surprised by the privacy. Ivy climbs up the back brick walls, too, giving the house a decidedly old-school vibe. I wonder if Ivy's any good for the longevity of the brick. Doesn't that shit fuck up the mortar? Why do I care? Climbing the two steps of the small back porch, I open the screen door and knock on the glass. Nothing. Hello? I pause. Your guest has arrived. Rattling the doorknob, I find it locked, which shouldn't irritate me, but does anyway. Well, one thing is for certain, this Posey person isn't irresponsible. If I lived in a house like this, I probably wouldn't feel threatened by the neighborhood and probably wouldn't lock the doors. Ain't no one gonna come bother me here. I'm confident of that. This place looks like some storybook character lives here. Mother Goose or some shit, with its green shutters and potted plants and the swing hanging from the giant oak tree in the center of the bright green grass. It's been cut recently and smells incredible. Fresh. Bet it's rained in the last few days. I glance up at the sky as I stand there, watching a few clouds roll by. Sighing, I tap the toe of my cowboy boot, and it echoes against the wooden porch floor. Tap, tap. I notice that the kitchen window is open, and scanning the screen storm door, I can't help noticing how easy it would be to pop that shit out and help myself to the inside. It's not that high off the ground, and I'm tall. No doubt I could climb inside if I wanted to without any issues, so I'm not standing out here like an asshole all goddamn evening. It's not getting any lighter as daylight flirts with the night. Climb inside through the window, dude, and let's get this party started. That would definitely solve a lot of my problems right now. I'm tired, hungry, and I feel like a sitting duck. Fuck it. I'm doing it. I'm gonna climb in through the window. Damned if I ain't. I could use a cheap thrill in my life, and this fits the bill. Without removing my boots, I take a few short steps to the window and pop the screen out easily. I don't give a fuck about breaking and entering. Not when I technically live here now, albeit temporarily. It's not breaking and entering if I'm paying to be here, is it? Shrugging, I brace my hands on the windowsill, which is chest height. I've jumped over grown men on the playing field, so I can surely heave myself through here, I boast arrogantly. Confidence has never been a shortcoming of mine. It comes from growing up in Texas, on a ranch, being given responsibility at a young age.
We didn't work the farm. My pop was a Super Bowl winning Hall of Famer, but he owned the land and rented it out. Our massive home was smack dab in the middle of it all. Stream running through it, cattle, horses, the whole shebang. In my head, I count to three, feet pumping on the ground, ready to hitch my knee on the windowsill as soon as I get enough momentum. One, two, I make it on the first try, obviously. My large frame crammed into the opening. Climbing on top of the counter in front of the window, I narrowly miss the sink, but jam my calf on the faucet. Fuck! I curse. Untangling myself, extending my legs to slide to the floor. For whatever reason, I wipe my hands on the thighs of my jeans as if I'd just run a sprint or done an equally taxing task. I flip on the light next to the window before unlocking it. Listening for noises, I find the only sound coming from the television in a nearby room. Hello? Ducking through what appears to be the dining room, I find it empty as I'm expecting to, and call out in the event someone has heard me and is hiding in the shadows to clock me on the skull with a frying pan or something. Cast iron, no doubt, like I've seen in the movies. Hello? I flip on more lights as I go through the dining room to the little entry hall. Unlocking the front door, I pull it open and wheel my suitcase into the foyer before shutting it again. Bedroom must be upstairs. Don't mind if I make myself at home, Posey, wherever you are. I lift my suitcase and take the stairs by two on account of my long legs, looking this way and that, acclimating myself once I get to the top landing and find a small loft in front of me. It's cute, with a love seat and television, a bookcase, and a coffee table. Does anyone actually sit up here? Seems like a waste of space to me, but then again, I grew up on a massive estate on a cattle ranch with more housekeepers than was necessary, which had more rooms than a family of six could possibly ever need. There are four doors on this level, one of them closed. Popping my head into the closest door next to me, I discover that it's a bathroom. The next bedroom appears to be a spare bedroom, so that's where I plug my suitcase, nudging it next to the dresser with the toe of my boot while flipping on the light at the same time. I don't bother settling in. Instead, I continue exploring. There's another guest bedroom, or at least that's what I assume it is. It doesn't look like there are any personal items that would indicate someone is staying here. Bare walls and minimal decorations. I do not hesitate to crack open the closed door, not bothering to knock, with the assumption that I will find it empty on the other side. I'm wrong. A desk that's been placed in front of the window faces the door, and at that desk is a young woman. It takes her a few seconds to notice me, and when she does, the blood-curdling scream that comes out of her throat actually has me ducking, as if she's just hurled a vase in my direction. Get out of my house! It's pens and pencils, and they hit my arm like tiny swords before falling to the carpet. Whoa! I hold up my hands defensively, as if I expect something to come flying at my head. Lady, what are you doing?
What am I doing?
She screams for the second time, grappling for her phone, earbuds dangling from her lobes.
Get out of my house!
I'm Duke, I inform her calmly. I live here. I'm staying here for a time, but I don't see much of a difference between living and staying. The young woman, Posey, has a bright red face that looks madder than a chicken caught in a rooster house, chest heaving, nostrils flaring.
You do not live here, she pauses. Are you high? Are you lost? Oh my God, have you escaped from prison? Don't come near me.
Now she's holding what looks like a letter opener in one hand, brandishing it like a knife as her wild eyes glance around, probably looking for mace. Something, anything to spray me in the face to blind me so she can escape. Duke Coulter. Your friend, I rack my brain for the name of Eli's girlfriend. Misty? Michelle? Your friend, what's her face? It begins with an M. Her chest heaves. My hands are up in a surrender pose. My agent is Eli Cohen. He rented the room for me. Relax, lady. Chill. The clock ticks as the pieces of the puzzle click together in her brain, thank God.
My friend's name is Molly. Not what's her face?
She sets the letter opener down on the desk and plops back into her desk chair, body visibly sagging with relief.
You don't just barge into someone's home and scare the shit out of them. How did you get in?
Well, no shit, you don't barge into someone's home. That's not what I did. Jeez, I'm staying here. I had to get inside somehow. What difference does it make how I got in? I didn't realize anyone was here. If I had, I'd have banged on the door harder.
Yes. You should have banged on the door harder.
She's fuming, steam practically coming out of both ears. Ma'am, in my defense, the door was locked. I sound reasonable enough, hands gesturing in front of me. Inwardly, I chuckle at my own use of the word ma'am, knowing it makes me sound like the gentleman my mama raised me to be, though I know I'm not.
You broke down the door?
Her eyes are wide, and she's yelling again. I snort. No? I came in through the window, and it was being a little bitch.
Why would you do that?
She screeches.
On what planet is it ever okay to climb through someone's window? Did you not think to ring the doorbell?
She keeps stressing parts of her sentences in the most peculiar way. There is no doorbell.
Yes, there is. There is a doorbell. What house doesn't have a doorbell?
She yells, furious.
Did you not look? Oh my God. And then you barge in here, snooping around like you're trying to give me a heart attack?
She leans back, catching her breath, checking the watch on her wrist.
I wasn't ready for you yet.
I shrug. Caught an earlier flight.
And didn't bother to let anyone know?
I yawn. I didn't think it would be a problem. And I'm not sure what her problem is now. It's not like I'm a killer or a robber or a shady mother effer. She needs to calm her tits. She's staring at me as if I were some kind of lunatic, half-crazed whack job who's totally invaded her space. Which isn't the case because I am renting the room where I dropped my bag. If anything, shouldn't she be grateful for the extra cash? It'll help take some of the burden off her plate. And I'm not just giving her rent money. I'm giving her a small payout, so if she could quit looking at me as if I were the devil incarnate, that would be fantastic. She's still heaving and sighing like she's just completed a training workout with one of my defensive coordinators when all she's actually doing is sitting in a chair staring daggers at me. My therapist, Dr. Nancy, has been teaching me how to redirect and reframe, turn a negative into a positive, to be more constructive and less hostile when I'm talking to someone, and I attempt to do that now with my new roomie. Thanks for welcoming me into your home. I tell her pleasantly, ignoring her stiff posture and unsmiling mouth.
Are you being serious right now?
She deadpans.
You broke in.
I'm confused. Does she not think I appreciate the bed to crash in and the use of her Wi-Fi? What in tarnation? I didn't break in.
But the house is locked.
She points out again, master of the obvious, reiterator of facts. But I didn't come in through the door. I came in through a window. I pointed a chair across from her at the desk. Mind if I sit?
Yes, I mind if you sit.
I sit anyway. This entire exchange, exhausting. I need food and a shower. Pulling out my phone, I begin scrolling through the messages to see if Eli has finally gotten back to me. He has not.
Chapter 2. Posey. The nerve of this guy, climbing in through the window and scaring the shit out of me, acting like an intruder I hadn't known was in the house. How long was he inside before he entered my office? What was he up to downstairs before he came upstairs? The fact that I hadn't heard him knocking is terrifying. What if he was a murderer whose intention was to tie me up and do horrible things? I shiver, pushing the thought out of my brain and focusing on the man sitting across from me. Uninvited, I might add. He's massive. And yes, I did my research, but not a ton, and I had pictured him differently in my head. I wasn't expecting him to be so massive. How on earth has he shoved his large body through the window without making any sounds? I stare at him, unable to decide if he's a creep or just crass. I'm unfamiliar with either personality trait, considering I prefer not to associate with assholes. My vibe is chill and relaxed, not full throttle and say whatever dumb shit comes to mind, like he does. The man has no filter and has insulted me several times already, feet propped up on my desk as if he owns the place. I take a deep breath in. Let it out. Remember, the man is paying your rent for the next 3 months, and he's only staying for 2 weeks. I remind myself as my eyes home in on the toe of his cowboy boots. Deep breath in, Posey. Deep breath out. It's 2 weeks.
I didn't see supper downstairs,
he says at long last, that southern twang unfamiliar.
My stomach is growling.
Growling? Don't you dare crack a smile, Posey Kettner. Get a grip. He can't help himself. The accent is natural. I raise a brow and level him with a blank stare. Oh? Am I supposed to feed you? He tilts his head as if to say yes, you were supposed to feed me, but I can see him actually thinking about the next words out of his mouth.
My agent sent a dietary list?
Yes, I'm aware. The list came in a large manila envelope in the mail, one I promptly tossed in the trash. He did. I'm not this man's personal assistant. It's not my job to grocery shop, cook for him, clean up after him, or make sure he doesn't starve. When Duke raises his brows, I lean back against the desk chair and cross my arms, much like I fancy a headmaster at a private boarding school would. I assumed you only needed a place to sleep at night. I didn't realize you thought you were also getting a personal assistant. I count to 10 for patience. I hear Delivery Dash is extremely efficient. You should try it. The first few deliveries are usually free.
Are you joking with me right now?
My mouth wants to smile, but I won't allow it to. No, I'm not joking with you. We assess one another, he and I, my heart still beating out of my chest, adrenaline still rushing from the fright and the sight of this large form taking up most of the air in my office. Molly's former office. Molly was my roommate and is currently the girlfriend of Duke's agent, Eli Cohen, who needed me to do him a favor and play host to one of his new megastar clients. Duke Coulter is one of the most famous football players in the world and about to become the highest paid. He also made the controversial decision to switch teams after his second year and after his first Super Bowl win. I'm not sure what would make a man do that, but I'm sure he has his reasons. I know nothing about sports. The only thing I love about them is the food. Charcuterie boards, taco dip, chips and salsa trays. Give me all the stadium food and I'll show up, but not to watch the game. Duke's boot moves as he crosses and recrosses his legs, and I'm reminded of my conversation with Molly. Well, so Eli has this client, and he's a pretty big deal. I nodded my head slowly. Aren't they all a big deal? Yes, but this guy is different. Molly hesitated. I can't tell you his name yet, but swear what I'm about to tell you doesn't leave this room. I held my palm up in an oath, the same one I'd use if I was on jury duty or a Girl Scout. I solemnly swear. Everyone wanted to sign him, and Eli got him, she emphasized, sounding super dramatic. Molly, that's great. I know. He's coming off a Super Bowl win, but they're going to announce he's leaving that team for another. And when it does, he'll be ambushed by paparazzi and the press. His fans are going to be pissed. All right. The thing is, he lives in Texas, but wants to be near Eli before the announcement is made. And he told Eli he won't stay in a hotel. They're not his thing, and he'd be too easy to find. I'd still been confused at that point. Uh-huh. And no one knows this little house exists, or Eli's connection to it. You want to rent this house to him instead of me? I'd been dismayed at the thought. They were kicking me out of my house so they could move in a football player? No, Posey, I wanted to ask if you'd be okay with him crashing here for a bit. We need to hide him, she reassured me. That's what I'm here to ask, if you'll harbor one of Eli's athletes. Harbor one of his athletes? What did that even mean? He plays what sport again? Didn't I literally just tell you he's coming off a Super Bowl win? She sighed, because my brains were addled, the information a bit too much for me to process. All I wanted to do was bake cakes and make crafts for my adorable little students. Football, and he's just been given the most lucrative deal in history. When people find out, they're going to lose their shit. Food is my love language. I'm not a great cook, but I can bake well enough to be on any baking competition show. I shake the feathers out of my head. Of course, I'd be glad to help you guys out. You said it was only for a little bit? Yeah. Molly swallowed a lump so big I could see it. Okay, there's one more thing. What? What more could there possibly be? Wasn't her asking me to harbor one of Eli's clients, a man I didn't know, enough? Sheesh. He's kind of... Her sentence trailed off. I wait patiently. He's kind of a giant asshole. I stare at the asshole and his cowboy boots and his tight t-shirt with the flannel over the top, the scruffy jeans and the scruff on his chin. I wonder what he sees as he stares back at me, our stilted conversation about his meals still lingering in the air. Does he honestly expect me to fetch him dinner, or supper, as he called it? From the looks of it, he does. I may be sweet as pie, but I have my limits. The only thing I discussed with Eli and Molly was housing this guy, not feeding or clothing him, not doing his laundry or picking up after him, not entertaining him either. Someone obviously didn't give him the memo. Somewhere in his pocket, his phone makes a motorcycle sound and he pulls it out, nodding to himself. He taps out a message to whoever was on the other end, then stuffs it back into his pocket.
That was Eli. He just landed.
Guess you hadn't needed to climb through my window and break in after all. He doesn't agree with me.
Seeing as I landed early, I probably would have done it anyway.
Seeing as I landed early, he probably would have done it anyway? You have no patience, do you?
No. And I'm so hungry I could eat corn through a picket fence.
Duke sighs loudly, slouching in his chair, boots moving further toward me on the desk, hogging up space and nearly nudging my laptop. You're hungry, but you haven't eaten and haven't ransacked the kitchen. Why does that surprise me? Then again, he was waiting for a fully prepared meal to be served, probably in the dining room.
I have manners.
Manners? You climbed in through the window.
Your window was open. And why do you keep yelling?
There is no reasoning with this man. He's clearly used to getting his way and getting what he wants. Either that, or he's been hit in the head so many times his brains are addled, which I realize sounds like a terrible joke to make. What else did Eli say?
He was heading to his place in the city, but asked if I wanted him to swing by.
There's no swinging by from the airport. Not in the Chicago rush hour traffic. Not at this hour of the day. What did you tell him?
I told him we had it covered, and that he could pop on a call tomorrow.
Duke pauses.
He and I have stuff to go over.
I'm sure he's got super important stuff to go over, no doubt. I don't have a clue what they're paying this guy, but for Eli to bend over backward for Duke, hiding him out until their big media announcement, well, I'll have to make myself scarce. I have to work, so you'll have the house to yourself. Speaking of which, I open my drawer and pull out a stapled sheet of paper, sliding it across the desk toward him. He ignores the papers.
Where do you work?
I'm a teacher. I clear my throat. I took the liberty of creating a few rules. House rules, if you will. So not only are my expectations managed, but yours will be too. I push a loose strand of hair behind my head nervously.
What kind of teacher?
Kindergarten.
You're a kinder teacher.
His eyes are wide.
Shit, if that don't beat all.
What's wrong with being a kindergarten teacher, I want to ask. Instead, I give the papers a nudge closer to him. He reluctantly snatches them, holding them up.
House rules,
he says dryly.
I ain't had rules since I lived at home with my mama.
Ain't had his mama?
Don't eat your roommate's food without asking, or replace it once you do.
He glances up at me briefly, but makes no comment.
Always asked to borrow things.
Duke pauses.
So you're saying you're gonna ask if you want to borrow my clothes, Rumi?
He laughs as if it's hilarious. Haven't you ever had roommates before? He nods his dumb head.
Sure, when I was 18, and it was guys, so...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?